Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From Christ Jesus, our resurrected Savior, whose name is the only name by which we are saved, your fellow redeemed. Perhaps you heard this story before. It's about Martin Luther. He's getting pretty depressed because of the events that were happening during the Reformation. Nothing seemed to get him out of that depression. One day he came home to see his beloved wife, Katie, dressed in black mourning clothes. Surprised, he asked, "Who had died?" Katie replied, "God has died." "Nonsense," Luther said. "God lives." To which Katie said, "Are you sure, Martin? From the way you've been acting, I was certain he had died." How often haven't we lived or acted in our lives as if God were dead? As if Jesus remained dead in the grave and didn't rise from the grave. We're sad. We mope around. We're discouraged, depressed, stress-filled, distressed. But God is not dead. He exists through all eternity. Jesus, who was dead in the grave, has risen and lives forevermore. And his resurrection, the power of his resurrection, should live in our hearts and in our lives. But unfortunately, by nature, we're all filled with worry, with doubts, with fears. We're burdened with stress, with the affairs and cares of this world. It happens to all of us. None of us are free from these natural feelings, the emotions of the heart. And the only solution is to know how to deal with that and what to do with it. Well, the world has all kinds of remedies, all kinds of solutions, but unfortunately, they don't last. They don't answer every problem. The one true, lasting, permanent solution is the name that was given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus. We mentioned last Sunday that we have begun a six-week sermon study during this Easter season with this overall theme, the power of Christ's resurrection in our lives. Last Sunday we heard how a crippled man was healed by that power of Christ's resurrection. But more importantly, we were told and learned how he was led to believe in that crucified and risen Jesus as his Lord and Savior. We heard how Peter told the people and us that we too have that blessing of the power of Christ's resurrection by repenting of our sins and by turning to Christ alone as a source of forgiveness and life and salvation. Last Sunday, the sermon text ended with Peter speaking to the people and saying that now God the Father, through this risen Christ, was turning them away from their sins. Well, this morning our sermon text continues from that point, telling us all the responses that took place after that miracle. We read in Acts 4, verses 1 through 12, our sermon text. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. As Peter was speaking, suddenly the captain of the temple guard, some of the priests and Sadducees, came up to them. They were very upset. Not so much upset because of the miracle, but because of what Peter and John were saying. They were upset because they were teaching the people about Jesus and about his resurrection from the dead. For you see, these Sadducees, many of them who were priests themselves, didn't believe in a resurrection from the dead. They didn't believe in spirits or angels. This life was the whole of their existence. There was nothing after death. Kind of strange, isn't it, that they were religious leaders? Well, in order to shut up Peter and John, they arrested them. But since it was close to evening, they had to wait till the next day for the trial. And so the next day, Peter and John were brought before some very distinguished people. You've heard of them, some of them, in our readings of Jesus' Passion history during Lent. There was Caiaphas, the high priest, and his father-in-law Annas, two very notable priests named John and Alexander, together with other priests and other Pharisees and Sadducees, which made up the Jewish Senate called the Sanhedrin. And so once again, just like 2 months earlier, these Pharisees and Sadducees, who were intensely hating each other, now united against a common foe. And just like 2 weeks earlier, probably in the very same spot where Jesus stood and was questioned by them and condemned by them for blasphemy, these two disciples now stood and were questioned. They're asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Notice the question wasn't, what have you done? That was obvious for all to see. Even the Sadducees and the priests and the scribes couldn't deny this crippled man now was walking. He was healed. The question was, how? By what means? By what power? By whose name did you do this? It's interesting, in the original Greek, the emphasis is on the word this. They can't even say the word miracle. In scorn, they're saying, this thing, how is it done? By whose name? One man wrote, this question was like a noose being put around the disciples' necks. By answering the question, Peter and John would be tightening that noose. If they lied and said, it was by our own power that we did this, they'd be accused of blasphemy, punishable by death. If they told the truth and said, it was in the power of Jesus' name, then they'd suffer the wrath and the anger of the very people who had put Jesus to death and condemned him. What would they say? How would they answer? Well, we see in our text a completely different Peter than the one from 2 months earlier on Good Friday, who trusted in himself, who in his own self-confidence fell by one little look and a few words of a servant girl. This time we see a Peter who is filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the power of the resurrection of his Savior Jesus, who gets up and says to this distinguished crowd, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. By him this man stands here before you, whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Notice Peter's reply. First, he asks, what's the charge? Is it wrong to do good? Is it wrong to help with kindness a man who's an invalid? If we're being judged for this good deed, let it be known to you and to all of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Wow, what a statement of courageous faith. Peter's life was on the line. And he boldly and confidently proclaims the truth and even accuses the Sanhedrin of outright murder. How could Peter do this? Because his faith rested in no other name. The power of Christ's resurrection filled his heart. It was in the power of Jesus' name that this miracle had been done. But the religious leaders of Israel rejected Christ. They hated that name. They judged him guilty of death. No other name could arouse such animosity, such hatred in the hearts of Caiaphas and Annas. No other name was so reviled and so condemned by the Jewish leaders of Israel than the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And it's the same as true today. The name of Jesus is held in contempt and hated by countless millions around the world today. It was a name that was chosen by God the Father. God chose the name Jesus, which means Savior. Literally, Jehovah saves. God chose that name for his Son because he chose his Son to be the one deliverer, the one Savior of all the sinful mankind. Jesus was given that name even before he was conceived in his mother's womb. The angel told Mary to call him Jesus. And then sometime later in a dream, the angel said to Joseph, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That name declares that there is no one else who can save mankind. Salvation is not found in everyone for himself. It's found in he for us. Jesus for every sinner. How do we know that? Well, we look at ourselves. We can't keep God's commandments perfectly and thought we're indeed as God commands. And once we've sinned, we cannot set ourselves free from sin. We can't atone for even one little misstep and one little simple thought. Can we pay for it? No. Can we beat ourselves? No. We can't atone for anything. We can't nail hell's door shut. We can't conquer death. We can't get out of the grave. But Jesus can. And Jesus did it all. The only name that saves. Peter concluded with these words, "For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Must be saved. That must expresses necessity. This is a necessity of fact. Salvation is only through faith in Jesus Christ. Any other follower, any other way leads to eternal death and you're lost. We need these words, especially today, to be sunk deeply into our hearts and into our lives, because we live in a world where the world says it doesn't really matter what you believe in or in whom you believe, just that you're sincere in your belief. And the world today says, well, we all worship the same God anyway. But if we in any way leave the impression that we don't need Jesus, or that there's other ways to everlasting life than through Jesus Christ, then we destroy everything Jesus did. And we're making Jesus a liar. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And thankfully, that same truth we proclaim today, and we'll, Lord willing, we'll proclaim until our Savior returns. No whitewashing, no compromising, no politically correct speaking so we don't offend anyone. We proclaim what our Savior said, what the apostles taught, that salvation is found only through faith in Jesus Christ, through His perfect life of obedient love, through His perfect sacrificial death upon the cross, and through His resurrection from the grave. No other name will do, because no other sacrifice can pay, no other payment can be made. The scribes and elders and religious leaders were supposed to be the ones who built the Lord's church. But they rejected the one stone that would make that spiritual building. God has made Jesus the cornerstone. And we know without the cornerstone of a building, it can't be built properly. In fact, without Jesus, there is no church. There can be no church built. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that His church is built. It's the name of Jesus Christ and His Word that we base all of our teachings upon. It's in the name of Jesus that we pronounce forgiveness of sins to each other, privately and publicly. It's in the name of Jesus that we offer our prayers to Heavenly Father. It's in the name of Jesus that we can rest all of our eternal future. And thankfully, it's in the name of Jesus that we can lay our head down and peacefully fall asleep in death. No other name than that of our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus. That's the power of Christ's resurrection in our lives. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.